Throughout the Bible, we have so many countless and powerful examples that teach us about forgiveness. These accounts, they draw us closer to the heart of our God, and they challenge us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. The accounts that we study about forgiveness, they are not simply divine things that we can simply just look at, but they ultimately challenge us, ultimately, once again, to be the better as well. As you think about forgiveness tonight, I want you to consider a few examples with me as we think about the beauty of forgiveness. As mentioned already in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you read of David doing the unthinkable. But of course, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David is going to invite that of Mephibosheth into his home. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 2 and verse number 3, David says, "Is there any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" And thus Mephibosheth, he comes before King David and he throws himself onto the ground. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, David continues conquering all the great territory around him. But the triumphs of David in chapter 9 and chapter 10 are followed by the tragedies of chapter 11. David sees this woman by the name of Bathsheba, but there is a problem with this particular woman here. You see, she belongs to someone else. And so David comes up with this plan. Ultimately, we know, taking Bathsheba into his home, he's going to put Uriah on the front line, which eventually is going to cost him his life. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, there's that prophet, there's that truth teller by the name of Nathan. And he goes to him and tells him, "David, you're ultimately the man." But in Psalm 51, we read of David's repentance. We read of David changing his heart and drawing back to his heavenly Father. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You see, tonight, brethren, on the other side of our forgiveness, there is always going to be restoration from our God. And that's the beauty about forgiveness tonight. But I also want you to see him with me tonight as the stones rain down upon Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You read about the sermon that ultimately cost him his life. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 60, Stephen said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." In Romans chapter 5, the apostle Paul shows us how we were hopeless, we were helpless, and we needed a way to get back to God. In Romans 5 verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." But I want you to key in tonight on what he says in verse number 6 and following. Paul says, "For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." But verse 8, Paul says, "But God has commended or demonstrated his love toward us." Watch this. "And that while we were no longer yet sinners," how that Christ died for us. As the apostle Paul writes to the brethren at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul reminds us of how all those spiritual blessings are in Christ. In verse number 4, Paul says, "This was made known before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame in love." And then he says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." When you think about the beauty of forgiveness tonight, and all these great accounts help us appreciate that if we go to our God with a repentant heart, he is always going to be ready to forgive his children. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21, Peter again lets us know the attitude, or more or less the one that we should be following after. Peter says, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example to follow in his steps." And the more we study forgiveness, the more we realize how we are being challenged not to be like the world. You see, the world tonight will tell us we need to hold on to hatred. We need to allow pride to dominate our hearts. We should cling to bitterness as much as we can. But our God will challenge us to put those things away. to let that old man die so the new man, as Paul makes mentions of in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, so the new man can bring all the great things that God will have him to bring. The beauty of forgiveness. Our main text tonight is going to come from Colossians chapter 3, and we invite you to turn your New Testament there with us tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about how forgiveness transforms us, how forgiveness restores us, and how it again brings us into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. When you study the book of Colossians, you can see the striking similarities between this book and the book of Ephesians. Of course, the overwhelming theme of the book of Ephesians, Paul is going to talk about the church of Christ. And Paul is going to spend six chapters, the first three chapters, giving us the doctrine. And then in chapters 4 through 6 of the book of Ephesians, Paul will more or less show us how we put these things into practice. Ephesians 4:1, you see that transitional statement there. But when you look at the book of Colossians tonight, Paul is going to show us not just the church of Christ, but ultimately the church, the Christ rather, of the church. Notice what he says in Colossians 1, beginning with verse number 13. Paul says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Paul is going to say, by him all things were created, things that are in the heaven and things that are in the earth, those things that are visible and invisible. Paul says, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by him and all things were made for him. Paul shows us the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. But in Colossians chapter 2, Paul shows us that Jesus, he's not just a philosophy, but he's also a person. Notice Colossians 2:1. Paul says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them which are at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all richness of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 and verse 4, Paul says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Paul says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, O King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the divine in bodily form. Paul says, don't you know that Jesus is God and man at the very same time? But notice what he says in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, within these first 17 verses, Paul is going to do two main things. Number one, Paul is going to show us how the old man must die. And then secondly, from verse 10 to verse number 17, Paul is going to show us how the new man is the man that we want in our hearts and lives. Notice what he says in Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Paul says, if you then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Paul says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Notice verse 5. Paul says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscences, covetousness, Paul says, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Notice this lifestyle, Paul says, that you also walked when ye lived in them. But notice what he says in verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of the image, in the image rather, of him that created him. And notice what he says in verse number 13. Paul says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, Paul says, so also ye do. And then in verse number 14, Paul says, and above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I have four areas I want to study with you tonight as we think about the beauty of forgiveness. Number one tonight, let's focus our attention on the cost and the gift of forgiveness. Again, number one tonight, the cost and the gift of forgiveness. When we talk about forgiveness tonight, if it's easy for it to get away from us, that there was a means for us to be reconciled back to the Heavenly Father. You see, in Luke 23 and verse number 34, when our Lord is hanging upon the cross, standing between heaven and earth, he will utter one of those seven sayings. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But when you think about the Passion Week, the last week of our Lord's life, Jesus is going to go through many different things even before he gets to the cross of Calvary. In Matthew 26, verse 36, the Bible says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and I pray yonder. Jesus goes further into the garden and he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but ultimately let your will be done. You read of Judas coming with the Roman soldiers, John 18, to arrest Jesus. In John 19, verse 1, the Bible says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and he scourged him. John 19, verse 8 and 9, the Jews say, we have a law. And by our law, he ought to die because he made himself to be the Son of God. In John 19, verse 15, shall I crucify your king? The Jews' response was, we have no king but Caesar. In John 19, verse 25 to verse 27, as Jesus is on the cross, he looks down and he sees his mother. I want you to really allow the text to challenge you tonight. And I want you to see Jesus upon the cross. And as the blood comes down from his face, he sees his mother. And ultimately, John writes for us that Jesus, he will bow his head and he will give up the ghost. You see, brethren, forgiveness came at the expense of the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just preach forgiveness, but he bled for it. He died for it. Jesus gave his life to give us life. Jesus the Christ, having done no sin. Jesus the Christ, the great high priest, Hebrews 4 verse 15. Yet he is without sin. But yet he laid down his life for us, who did the very things God told us not to do, Genesis 3, 1 to 15. And when you think about the beauty of forgiveness tonight, brethren, there was a cost that was attached to that. In John 10 and verse 17, Jesus says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life so I can take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus says, of death, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Jesus looked death in the eyes, and Jesus says, I'm not afraid of death. In the 1 Corinthians 15, as the Apostle Paul writes to the brethren there, Paul gives us that same hope. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? As Christians, when death comes into our lives because of the forgiveness of sins, oh, we don't talk as if we're afraid of death, because our Lord and Savior has already conquered death. Who else but the Almighty God can put a death sentence on death itself? In order for us to be brought back to him. Appreciate, secondly tonight, or rather in this first point, appreciate what we have been forgiven from. When you open up your New Testament to Ephesians chapter 2, as the Apostle Paul writes to the brethren at Ephesus, Paul will help us appreciate. Paul, they're writing to those Gentile brethren. Paul helps them appreciate the past condition and where they are now as a result of their relationship with God. Notice what he says in Ephesians 2 verse 1. Paul says, and you have he quickened, made alive is the idea there. and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked, Paul says, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul says, among whom also we had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh. Watch this. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature called the children of wrath, even as others. Paul says, there was a time when you allowed your flesh, when you allowed the evil one to determine how you're going to live, how you're going to move. But I'm so thankful that text doesn't stop in verse 3. Notice what he says in verse number 4. Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us, has quickened us. And then he says, by grace are you saved. You see, brethren, the amazing thing tonight, when you appreciate where we were and where we are now, how is that possible? It's possible because of Jesus Christ. Appreciate the love of God tonight as well. When you start surveying your Bible, you will run into some amazing truths that God has given to his people by way of how much he loves us and cares for us. A couple come to mind tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to verse number 9. As Moses is indoctrinating this new generation of Israelites, Moses is getting them ready as they go over into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 to verse number 5, Moses is going to list several other nations. And then in verse number 6, Moses says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. For the Lord thy God, verse 8 and verse 7 and verse number 8, for the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any other people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Why did God do that? But because the Lord loved you. And then in verse number 9, he says, knowing therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. When you read Isaiah 53 tonight, don't have time to read all that, but when you read those 12 verses in Isaiah 53, Isaiah is predicting what our Lord and Savior is going to have to go through upon the cross. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is led as a lamb before the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus went through that for us. You see, brother, when we talk about forgiveness tonight, don't minimize where you've come from. Don't minimize the love of God, because both of those help us appreciate the beauty of forgiveness. But it's not just the cost I want you to take hold of tonight in this first point. There's also the gift. Well, what's the gift? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the context, of course, begins in chapter 4, verse 16 to verse number 18. The outward man perish, Paul said, the inward man is renewed day by day. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive those things done in our bodies according to what he have done, whether they be good or evil. Notice what he says in verse number 11. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Verse 10, why is that? Because we will stand before the God of heaven. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul says, we persuade men. And we are made manifest unto God, Paul says, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Paul says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. Paul says, we're not doing this for the purpose of bragging and boasting, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. Verse 14, Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us or compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. What's the gift tonight? And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. Sometimes we talk about reconciliation as if God is the one who broke the relationship. Humanity broke the relationship. The bridge between God and humanity was broken, and God was the one who initiated the forgiveness. Number one tonight, the cost and the gift of forgiveness. But number two tonight, there's a question that's in front of us as well. Number two tonight, how do we receive forgiveness? We invite you to turn your Old Testament to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go backwards to go forward. How do we receive forgiveness tonight? Is there a way for you and I to be reconciled back to God? Is there a way for you and I to be just as if, Romans 8 verse 1, we have never sinned? But appreciate what Moses writes in Genesis chapter 3. Moses says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Highlight this in your Bible and in your heart. But God have said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, being as God, knowing both good and evil. And the text says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat. She also gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And both of their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. Forgiveness began with God. Adam and Eve hide themselves from the presence of a God. Adam and Eve hide themselves from a God who can see everything. But yet God goes looking for them. How do we know God loves us, like God loves us tonight? Because according to John 3 verse 16, according to Genesis 3 and verse 15, God sent the very best heaven had to offer. God didn't look down at a long list of other options. God didn't think and say, well, maybe all these other things could be used. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3 verse 16, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but they will have everlasting life. Forgiveness, it begins with God's initiative. But more specifically, in helping us answering this question tonight, how do we receive forgiveness? Brethren, we receive forgiveness through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know our world tonight constantly tells us and constantly will try to convince us that there are other means of salvation. There are other ways for us to be saved. But when I open up my New Testament tonight and I see what my Lord has done upon Calvary's cross, Jesus didn't die for all this religious confusion, brethren. Jesus died and he established his church with his own blood, according to Acts 20 and verse 28. And when you read Acts chapter 2 and you read about all those men and women on their own Pentecost, they left being members of one church. Imagine if these individuals were baptized, they came up and they asked each other, well, what church are you a part of today? Where are you going to go to worship? Brethren, they left being members of the one church. And just like there was one church 2,000 years ago, guess what? There's still one church today. How do we receive forgiveness? We receive forgiveness by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 22, when Peter and the 11 began preaching on Pentecost, through the eye of faith tonight, see them with me. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God by the miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him. In the midst of him, as ye yourselves also know him, Who's the him? Jesus. Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter anticipates their thoughts. Don't you know that David is both dead and buried? And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, brethren, those individuals, they received forgiveness of their sins by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Towards the end of our lesson, we're going to give what's called an invitation. And now there's a person here tonight who needs to respond to that invitation. Brethren, you can do that. Friends, you can do that. You don't have to walk out the way you walked in. You don't have to leave out wondering and guessing. Is my God going to forgive me? He's absolutely going to do that. Really quickly, before I move forward, I want to give you at least three things in helping us appreciate how do we receive this forgiveness. Number one, the gospel is going to save us from the penalty of sin. We've already mentioned that gospel. Romans chapter 1, 14 to verse 17. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to verse number 4. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it saves us from the penalty of sin. But not only that, the gospel sustains us in a life of grace. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world or time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." But last of all, in this point here, the gospel, it shapes us into people who forgive. Which brings us to our third point tonight. The command to forgive one another. The beauty of forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul writes to those brethren there, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to verse 32, similar to what he does in Colossians 3, 1 to verse 17, Paul is going to talk about this new man. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul says, "For ye have not so learned Christ." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath." And then in verse 27, Paul says, "Neither give place to the devil." But notice what he says in verse number 32. Brethren, allow this verse to challenge you when you think about forgiving one another. Paul says, "And be kind one to another." You know what love is? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. Love is kind. I've come to appreciate, I don't mean no harm when I say this, some people are just not kind. They're just not kind at all. Paul says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Why do I have to forgive? Don't you know how this person has treated me? Don't you know how this person has taken my name and just dragged it through the mud? And you want me to forgive? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm not suggesting to you tonight that forgiveness is just this easy thing. Forgiveness, it takes work. But you can do it. Paul says, "Even as God, for Christ's sake, he hath forgiven you." Forgiveness, brethren, is not this great suggestion that our God has given to us, but forgiveness is a command. Don't you want to go to heaven tonight? Don't you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? How can we say we love God who we've not seen, but hate our brother who we see every single day? How can we sing how great thou art when we all get to heaven, but yet we are not treating each other as if we want to go to heaven with that person? Forgiveness is not about you. Forgiveness is about God. Forgiveness, or rather forgiving, is the natural outflowing of a heart that appreciates that they have been forgiven. You see, it's so easy to look down on other people when they've done us wrong. But yet when I read my Bible, James 1 verse 25, when I look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God is going to show me I haven't always done the right thing. The word of God is going to show me I haven't always made the right decision, but yet my God is ready to forgive me. And how amazing is that? How should we approach the God of heaven when we are asking him for forgiveness? Two passages of scripture come to mind. In Luke 18, verse 13 to verse 14, that's one in particular. But in Micah chapter 6, in Micah chapter 6, 1 to verse number 8, the prophet here begins these first three verses giving us more or less this courtroom setting. In Micah chapter 6, verse 1 to verse number 8. In verse number 8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. We can't approach God asking him for forgiveness as if we are blessing God because he's forgiving us. You know how arrogant that is to go to a holy God and approach him as if we're doing him a favor by us asking him for forgiveness. Really quickly, you ever have somebody owe you money and they give you money with a bad attitude? How you feel? Now you owe me money, I'm asking for it back, and you have a bad attitude giving me my money back. Make that make sense. But we approach the God of heaven as if he owes us something. When brethren, he's already given us everything. How do we approach him in asking for forgiveness? When you think about Jesus Christ, more specifically in the command to forgive one another, I want you to turn your New Testament to Luke chapter 7 and just hang out in Luke chapter 7 for a while. We'll get there momentarily. You know, to be like Jesus, it means to forgive the inexcusable, because God forgives the inexcusable in us. When you look at all these examples, when you think about Judas Iscariot tonight, when you think about the Apostle Peter, Luke 22, verse 31 and following, Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus says, before the sun comes up, Peter, you would have denied me three times. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus says, but go your way, tell the disciples and Peter. When you think about Saul of Tarsus tonight, and how he was persecuting those who were of the way, and how his conversion eventually led him to now converting people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you think about the book of Luke tonight, we have so many up close accounts in our Lord's life and how he's going to interact with people on a daily basis. You read in Luke chapter 19, 1 to verse number 10, you read about this man by the name of Zacchaeus. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down today. I must abide at your house. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When you think about Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and following, then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners for to hear him. Luke 15, verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes, they murmur saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. Verse 3, he spake this parable unto them saying, in Luke 15, verse 4 to verse number 7, he gives us the illustration of the lost sheep. In verse 8 to verse number 10, he talks about the lost coin. And then verse 11 to verse number 32, he shows us the lost son there. But in Luke chapter 7, when you think about all these great pictures from our Lord's life, of course, Matthew 18, how oft shall we forgive him? Peter asks, seven times. Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. Notice Luke chapter 7 and verse number 36. There's this scene from our Lord's life where he's going to give us an example on what true forgiveness actually looks like. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible says, then when one of the Pharisees desired him to eat with him, he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat.
And behold, a woman which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus had sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought this alabaster box of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wash his feet with tears. She wiped them with the hairs of her head. She kissed them and anointed them with ointment. Notice what the text says here. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, watch this. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, implication being clear, he's not a prophet. Because if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, say on. A certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answering said, I suppose he forgave most. And he said, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I'd enter into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. For the sake of time, the text ultimately goes on to say, Jesus says of her, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Brethren, no one is so low that Jesus cannot pick them up. Brethren, no one is so far gone. No one is so far out there that the love of God, that the love of the brethren cannot bring them back and remind to them and show them that the same love your God extended to you when you obeyed the gospel is the same love he has for you tonight. But friends, you got to come back home. I've wondered, but the songwriter says, but now I'm coming home. Talk to a lot of Christians who have left, many of whom don't believe that God will forgive them. Brethren, hear me well tonight. It's better to go back home dirty, smelly, and stinky than to not go back home at all. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Brethren, we can't do that, not being in a right relationship with God. Forgiveness is not just something we give others, but it's also something that we give to ourselves. Number four tonight, before we make some application. Number one, the cost and the gift of forgiveness. Number two, how do we receive forgiveness? We do that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, the command to forgive one another, or the beauty of forgiveness. And then number four tonight, the pathway and the fellowship, that leads to forgiveness. We invite you to turn your New Testament to 1 John chapter 1. Before we make some application, let's look at this text and notice a couple of things that John lays out for us. When you read the book of 1 John chapter 1, the first three verses is so apparent, really the first verse of 1 John chapter 1, is so apparent that when you read that, your mind can't help but think of John chapter 1, 1 to verse number 3 there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And 1 John 1 verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness to show unto you that eternal life, which was of the Father, was manifested unto us. You find revelation there. You find Jesus the Christ becoming flesh. You find relationship in 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 and verse number 3. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then you also have responsibility in that text as well. In 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, it keeps on cleansing us from our sins. There's a standard within the body of Christ. Talking to a new convert one time, struggling with this idea of them having to put on the new man, of them having to change their lives. There's an expectation that God has placed upon us. The expectation is to be holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, quoting all the way back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Because it is written, Leviticus 11 and verse 44, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, here's the good news for us tonight. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, God, really forgive me. Well, preacher, I hear you, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know the places I've gone. You don't know the conversations I've had. I don't know. But thankfully, if you ask your God to forgive you, if you change your mind and change your life, friends, he would do just that. God has done so much of the work for us in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to Calvary's cross to save us from our sins. The question is no longer on the part of what is God going to do. The question has now been placed in front of us. What are you going to do? There's another example of forgiveness tonight I really wanted to spend some time on, but I'll give you just a small part of that. If you are familiar with Joseph, and of course you have in Genesis chapter 50, the death of Jacob. And Joseph's brothers, they just know and they just believe, because our father is dead, that Joseph is now going to bring vengeance upon us. Joseph says in Genesis 50 and verse number 24, am I not in a place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Friends, God will put you right back together in front of the people that broke you. Oftentimes we think we have to bring vengeance upon someone. But Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Will we forgive only when it's convenient for us? Or will we show the world what it is to be Christ-like? Will we constantly cling on to bitterness? Or will we allow the mind of Christ to transform us for the better? Will we allow hatred and pride to constantly get in us? Or will we allow the new man to change us for the better? God wants us to change. And the way in which we do that is by following his word. Choose forgiveness every single time. Forgiveness shows the world and it shows the brethren that there is another way. Forgiveness, it begins with God. God has done so much. But now, the rest is up to us. So the question before us tonight is, will we allow the person we walked in here being determine how we're going to live? Or we let the old man get out the way and make room for the new man. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do. And then in verse 14, Paul says, and above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The good news tonight is, brethren, the beauty of forgiveness tonight is this. You do not have to leave out the way you walked in. If you ask God to forgive you, he will do just that. There's just so many examples throughout the Bible that help us appreciate that if I go to my God and I put those things in front of him, that he loves me enough to forgive me. The songwriter says, his grace, it reaches me and it will last until eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know that his grace, it reaches me. If you're not a member of the body of Christ tonight, why tarriest thou? Tonight, you are being invited to be a part of the greatest family this side of heaven has to offer. We're not asking you to be a part of some man-made religion, but we're asking you to be a part of the one church that Jesus died for and established with his own blood. You do that by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We heard what the expectations are in order for us to be saved from our sins. Brethren, there's only one way. And it's revealed for us through our scripture. You have to believe that with all your heart. The Hebrews writer says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Repent of your sins. Change your mind. Change your life. This is what I have been doing, but I'm not going to do that no more. The eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Brethren, if God can get the gospel to a man in the middle of the desert, he can get the gospel to those of us in College Station, Texas. You have to confess Christ to be the Son of God, just like that eunuch. And upon that confession, he was immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins. Tonight is your invitation. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do just that. Don't you want to go to that land? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Heaven will surely be worth it all. And all that is made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. And for those of us tonight who are members of the body of Christ, we struggle with forgiveness. We struggle even asking God for forgiveness. Brethren, I promise you, you don't have to leave out the way you came in. Ask God to forgive you of your sins, and he will do just that. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. If you have a need tonight, we invite you to come while we stand and sing the invitation song.